Once again, Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, they have a townhome in Lakeville, 3 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms. This from an 80-year-old that actually, you know, has had the opportunity to see a Rose Bowl and decided to work with Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group because they wanted their kids and their grandkids to be able to experience the elation of going to a Rose Bowl or winning a Big Ten championship.
And considering the success that Team Dinkytown has had, where they sold their first house for over $50,000 over asking, which meant over $4,000 went to Team Dinkytown, seems like a pretty good choice for a realtor to me, Luke.
All right. So if you want to reach out to them, go to teamdinkytown.com. They have a web form to fill out there. Additionally, you can call them at 612-250-8562. Welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to Iowa fans still won't let that game go edition. As while Minnesota fans may have moved on to the Michigan State season, as evidenced by what I've seen on social media here today from Iowa talking heads and their fans, they are still under the belief, as to quote the late, great Justin Gard, who, Justin, I know you're not dead. You're putting your children to bed at this moment. It's beginning to look like the spring, summer of 2020 with all of the conspiracy theories that continue to revolve that Iowa win, Luke.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we can't get over this. I don't know how much more time we really want to spend on this. I understand that, you know, one of the beauties of living in Minnesota is we actually have some professional sports teams, I guess, to distract us. You know, maybe on a Monday night, maybe on a Wednesday night when you're kicking off the basketball season. Golly, it's nice to have other options. But, man, if you're going to focus on this one game for this long, my sympathies.
Let me try and put a bow on this thing before we move on to talk about Michigan State and what's happened since, because I've heard PJ Fleck talk quite a bit here in the last 72 hours since the game. And here's what I will tell you. Minnesota has, number one, heard back from the Big Ten. They send in probably a handful of plays each and every week to the Big Ten that they would want them to look at and say, should this have been a flag? Should this have not been a flag? And yes, the infamous punt play was put in, but not for the reason that you're probably thinking. If you go back and you watch that punt play, Iowa has a player try and jump over one of the upmen for Minnesota. The
number
Big Ten
seven
came back.
He's
and
actually
said,
number seven.
Yes. The Big Ten came back and said that should have been a flag on Iowa. It would have been 15 yards and it would have been a fresh set of downs. And regardless of the invalid signal or not, regardless if DeJean returns it for a touchdown or not, that play should have never happened because that should have been a flag. Big Ten came back and said that to the University of Minnesota. Plus, I will also try and combat the conspiracy theory that Kirk Ferentz has putting out there that the referees came up to him and said they were reviewing that if DeJean stepped out of bounds or not. Fleck told us, the media, on Monday, that was never what he was told. Now, maybe Ferentz and Fleck were told very different things, which if that's the case, shame on the Big Ten refereeing crew. But Fleck came out and said, when they came up and told me they were reviewing the play, it was never conveyed to him that it was about did DeJean step out of bounds. It was all about the invalid signal or not.
Well, here's Ryan, let's back up. Like, I think that all they said was the previous play is under review. They didn't say why it was under review. So all of this is just an assumption. You're going to hearsay from two people. And all I know is, you know, the things that I learned about assumptions, we can draw those conclusions as we.
Yeah, might. I learned the same things about what they do between making a fool out of you and me. But my goodness, if somehow there's an Iowa fan still listening to this, I know it's your bye week and you have nothing to think about other than the harvest right now, which I'm not trying to throw shade at any farming.
Hey,
I'm going to be spending a lot of time, hopefully, in the next week looking over ag fields and trying to get my my buck tag filled here. But Kim, I'm so tired of talking about it. I'm tired of opening up my Twitter machine and looking at my mentions, still going bananas over it. If you're a Gopher fan, please just stop engaging with people at this point. I know that it's just, they got to move on. So we're going to move on this podcast because guess what? Minnesota's now got to try and come back off a huge emotional victory and go 1-0 in the Iowa championship season.
Actually, they did go 1-0 in the Iowa championship season. Before we do that, I think this whole play is shines light on how there is a lot of subjectivity and inconsistency in officiating in general. I'm not advocating, you know, one way or the other, but there apparently is the missed flag on the leaving their feet in the box on the punt on number 7 that was missed. And then there's the invalid signals that actually was missed and not called on the field when it should have been. And then via replay, I think if we can agree, Ryan, the intent of replay is to get the calls correct on the field, if I'm not mistaken. And as by the letter of the law, the correct call was made. I recognize that there's disappointment in a great play is taken away from Iowa. But again, that isn't the point of replay. The point of replay is to get the calls correct on the field. So regardless, this play in and of itself has a bunch of kind of gaffes by the officiating crew to a certain extent. Minnesota also on special teams, massive gaffe. But guess what? That's what we live with. Iowa, we would love to have your special teams. So let's leave it at that and get into the Michigan State game, Ryan. This is a 2:30 kick back at home at Huntington Bank Stadium. It's going to be a chilly one. We'll get into that later. But as you said, you got to move on after an emotional high. And basically, you can't drop this one to Michigan State.
No, you can't. I mean, this is a team that is in a bunch of turmoil right now. If you have not kept up with the Michigan State Spartans this year, they started quick. And then Mel Tucker gets involved in a sexual harassment situation to where Michigan State fires him. And kind of around that time, Michigan State starts to go into a little bit of a free fall here. And they have lost 5 straight games, including 4 Big Ten games. It's a Michigan State team that I think is better than their record. You look at a 2-5, 0-4 team in the Big Ten, you think, boy, they must be Northwestern bad. I think Michigan State beats Northwestern by double-digit points, which we can continue to spend quite a bit of time about how that Northwestern loss might come back to haunt Minnesota at the end of the season, depending on how the rest of the Big Ten West goes. But I think Michigan State's at least a competent team. It's one that I'm always one for taking a little stroll down Narrative Street. And your favorite Tracy Clay's offensive coordinator, Jay Johnson, gets to come back to Huntington Bank Stadium, Minnesota's offensive coordinator in that 2016 season, I believe. Maybe it was 2017. Gets to come back, and it's going to be interesting because Michigan State is certainly a little bit – I mean, it's a team that I would say has seen some guys hit the portal this week. They had their backup – I'd say their 6th offensive lineman hit the portal this week, and their team captain on defense, a defensive tackle, also hit the portal this week. So just like we kind of hypothesized here over the last few weeks, we're starting to see some of that turnover happen at Michigan State, Luke.
Yeah, and we said that this might be the timing of which it might happen. It is interesting that it actually did happen. So let's get into when the Gophers are on offense. On the season, you know, Minnesota is averaging 302 yards of total offense, 131 through the air and 170 on the ground. Michigan, conversely, is
Michigan State is
giving up 354 yards of total offense, 238 through the air and 115 on the ground. They're pretty stout against the run. As you look at the yardage, we'll get into some advanced stats later. But in general, this is a defense though that, you know, with 5 losses in a row is really struggling to stop people. And they're also struggling to put up points in a lot of games as well. But, you know, they've played some really quality opponents in Washington, Maryland, Iowa, Rutgers. You got to throw in there as a quality opponent too. And then obviously Michigan.
Yeah, they've played some good teams, and they've struggled against some good teams. Defensively, I think they've allowed 24 or might be 26 or more points on this 5-game losing streak. So you think to yourself, boy, they must be struggling defensively. I don't think that. Like I'll mention, though, one of their best defensive tackles and a man by the name of Simeon Barrow Jr. hit the transfer portal this week, so he's not going to play in this game. He's been removed from their online roster, a team captain for them defensively, so that'll obviously help Minnesota's chances. But as much as it is about Michigan State's defense, Luke, I also think it's, what does Minnesota's running game look like if it truly is Sean Tyler and Jordan Newbin getting the rock this
week? No kidding.
Because let's run through where Minnesota potentially is at with the running back room right now. You have Bryce Williams. He's out for the season. You saw Zach Evans get rolled up on before the end of the first half against Iowa, doesn't return. You see Darius Taylor not able to finish the game because he likely tweaked that same injury he was dealing with against Northwestern that caused him to miss 3 weeks of time. And so if neither one of the freshman running backs are able to come back, which Fleck gave a somewhat positive update on Monday, I think we've all learned here over the years that you should trust nothing about what PJ Fleck says injury-wise, more or less, with the media. I will just believe it when I see it that Zach Evans and or Darius Taylor are able to go for this game. Now, I know that a lot of fans aren't particularly high on Sean Tyler. I don't know that Sean Tyler has played particularly well. But I also don't know that Minnesota's figured out how to get Sean Tyler in space well, which obviously that's what he does really well. You want to get him outside the tackles. You want to get him to green because he's very fast. And if you're just going to run him between the tackles, I think you're doing a disservice to him. So we're going to see if Sean Tyler can find his footing. I think he's going to get the most amount of carries he's seen since probably that Nebraska game. And then you're also going to get to see Tyler Newbin's younger brother in Jordan Newbin get his first real significant action, I would say extended action within that, where he's played a little bit as a third down running back for Minnesota at times, but this isn't 2021, Luke, where your RB4 and your RB5 are Bucky Irving and Kai Thomas. It's how does Minnesota move the ball on first and second down? Because that's going to be key in this game, where Michigan State's best package, and offensive coordinator Greg Harbaugh talked about it today, is they're really good on third down with elaborate and exotic blitz packages. That's where they thrive. So what is the best third down offense, Luke? We've talked about it for a long time. Don't get there or be really efficient on first and second down because your play sheet on third and short is much longer than third and medium or third and long. So I would imagine, especially in the cold this weekend, where it's probably going to be in the mid-30s, that maybe Minnesota uses the short passing game as an extension of the run game. Or if it is a between the tackles runner, I think you're going to get your first extended look at what Jordan Newbin looks like as RB5.
Yeah, I think one thing to look at too, I mean, with the potential of Evans and Taylor being out, and you're looking at Sean Tyler and Jordan Newbin, and obviously we have to acknowledge that Bryce Williams is also out for the season. One thing we saw was, at least against Northwestern, Minnesota threw the ball a lot, right? If you look statistically, Michigan State's been really good in advanced stats against the run. You know, their EPA per play against the run, you know, ranks 28th in the country. Their EPA per game is 26th in the country. Their success rate against running the ball is 32nd in the country. You know, they're much more susceptible against the pass, where, you know, they rank more in the 70 and 80th percentile nationally. This is a pretty good Michigan State defense. Now they've lost some players like to the transfer portal, etc., so we don't know how much that's going to impact it, but it wouldn't surprise me to see Minnesota come out and throw the ball much. And I'm not saying like Nebraska throwing it, what was it, 44 times? But the reality is, like, they saw their most success against Iowa when they came out and were a little bit more aggressive and threw the ball. Now we know PJ Fleck and his tendencies. It's just really, really curious to see, when put into this position, will he break that tendency?
Well, it's going to come down to what does Minnesota's running game look like in the first 20, 30 minutes of the football game. If they're struggling to run the football effectively and efficiently with Tyler and Newbin, I would imagine they're going to ask Ethan to do a little bit more. Now, within that, everyone listening to this agrees, like I do, Ethan's got to be better. Ethan's got to be more consistent. Ethan's got to be better on short to intermediate and in the deep game. So it's going to also be on offensive coordinator Greg Harbaugh to get Ethan into a rhythm early. I mean, he tries to do that each and every week, but in this specific game where you're down to some tailbacks that are either inexperienced or haven't been playing to their full capabilities, the passing game is going to be key for Minnesota offensively in this game.
Yeah, no question. Have to find a way to get, you know, whether it's the tight ends and Brett Rippin Ford, let's get Corey Crooms back involved. You know, Daniel Jackson has been really good. And the thing that we haven't acknowledged, Ryan, probably is how much maybe this offense misses Lamecki Brockington, right? He was probably the second best receiver on this roster. Can Elijah Spencer step up and kind of fill in that void and have a big game? We know he's capable of it given his track record at Charlotte.
He is. I mean, that's going to be, or you know, whether it is Elijah Spencer or whether it's Chris Hotman Bell, which I would say, I don't know if a lot of fans noticed this because neither of them really showed up on the stat sheet, but Chris Hotman Bell off the bye played the most amount of snaps in a game that he's played all season. He was essentially splitting time with Elijah Spencer last week. So, you know, you're going to have a lot of Daniel Jackson on the outside. You know, you're going to have a lot of Corey Crooms in the slot. And if one of those two receivers outside, whether it's Chris Hotman Bell or Elijah Spencer, can step up in a game like this, that would be massive.
Ryan, this Michigan State game is going to be cold. And guess what? Homefield has a solution for you, a very styling maroon bomber jacket.
Yeah, if you haven't gone and looked already, check out my Twitter. Check out Gopher Radio's Twitter to see this bang and retro bomber jacket. And the beautiful part about it is it's still in stock in a multitude of different sizes. And if you go to checkout, you get $24 off because you get a 15% off promo code. When you use our promo code of GG23, saves you 15% at checkout. I'd also have you check out their sweatpants, their sweatshirts. They are wife approved, where I never get to wear mine because my wife is always wearing them. So go to homefieldapparel.com, check out the bomber jacket, sweatshirts, sweatpants. It's now finally going to start to feel like fall. And you, when you get to checkout, use promo code GG23.
Let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. On the season, Michigan State is averaging 325 yards of total offense, 217 through the air, and 107 on the ground. Minnesota, conversely, is giving up 338 yards of total offense, 218 through the air, and 119 on the ground, Ryan. As we mentioned previously, Michigan State has struggled to score in their last five games against Washington, Maryland, Iowa, Rutgers, and Michigan. They have amassed 7 points, 9, 16, 24 against Rutgers in a really tightly contested game, and then a whopping 0 against Michigan. This is an offense in the past under Jay Johnson that has been explosive, especially when they've had a really good running game. But of late, they've kind of struggled, with the exception of that Rutgers game.
They have, and that's where former Minnesota offensive coordinator Jay Johnson, when they had their bye week in mid-October, elected to make a quarterback change. They went from Noah Kim to Caton Hauser, and Caton Hauser has been, I would say, just okay. You look at his two starts since the bye week against Rutgers and Michigan, he's completing about 58% of his passes, and he's thrown for a grand total in two football games, 236 passing yards. Not a passing game that I would say has been explosive. Certainly hasn't been. But the thing about Hauser to me is, while he may only have one interception, I'll say this, Luke, he's been credited with 6, as Pro Football Focus calls them, turnover-worthy plays in his two starts. So while he only has the one turnover to show for it, Pro Football Focus is trying to tell us that Hauser has gotten lucky that he hasn't accounted for more turnovers. Last thing I will say about him is, I don't know if Mike Grimm is listening to this specific portion, but when you are, Grimmer, he is the third worst among Big Ten quarterbacks in pressures into sacks. What does that mean? When he gets pressure around him, he's really not good, and he's been taking sacks. He has a higher pressures turned into sack rate than Deacon Hill did last week. So what I'm telling you that is, if Minnesota can stop the run, which we'll get into here in a second, Hauser has been really poor at eluding pressure. He's been taking too many sacks. Now, what Michigan State and Jay Johnson want to do is they want to feature number 5. That's Nathan Carter, their tailback. He grades out as their top player on offense of any Michigan State player of 100 or more snaps via Pro Football Focus, leads them in rushing yards, rushing touchdowns. So the key for Minnesota, as it is each and every week, and you saw it last week against Iowa, they want to get Michigan State one-dimensional. If you can stop the run, which Michigan State has struggled to run the ball here in the last month or so, I would say, K Caden Hauser in this passing game have also struggled. So it's going to be key for Joe Rossi to do the same thing they did last week. Stop the run, limit explosive plays. And if you can get pressure on the quarterback, as I've alluded to, he's either going to put the ball in harm's way or you're going to be forcing quite a few three and outs.
So, Ryan, I did look at Hauser. So he's only really played the last two games, right? Obviously, Michigan is just an elite defense, and that's tough. But I noticed in that Rutgers game that he also is able to run the ball. So give me your perception on just like how he's capable. Is he a pretty capable runner as well? Because in that Michigan game, he didn't run the ball at all, but he did run it fairly effectively in that Rutgers game.
I don't know that he's any more mobile. I mean, he's obviously more mobile, I would say, than Deacon Hill, but so is every other quarterback in the Big Ten. But it's just when the pocket has broke down around him, it's not like they do design quarterback runs for them, as Joe Rossi said to the media today. The offense really hasn't changed, even though they've switched quarterbacks. The offense is the offense, which is a nice thing for them. I would say Noah Kim, their previous quarterback, was much better at eluding pressure than Hauser would be. I mean, he's a Big Ten quarterback. He's athletic enough to move. I just wouldn't say that, you know, he's elite at evading pressure.
Okay, yeah, that totally makes sense. In general, I mean, this offense has struggled to run the ball of late, like you mentioned. You know, if you can make an offense one-dimensional and keep them behind the sticks, that's obviously going to be to the benefit. And let's just see if this Gopher defense can continue to be opportunistic in turnovers, where they just came off of forcing Iowa into three and actually being able to get pressure with, you know, four and not having to blitz too often. But when they did blitz, it was really effective.
Yeah, it's just getting pressure is going to be key in a game like this. Shutting down Nathan Carter is going to be key in a game like this. And that's where Minnesota's defensive line, after arguably their best game of the season, has to bring it again after an emotional victory.
Ryan, a common theme of this episode is actually going to be how cold it is with this cold front coming in, but that doesn't mean that the fall yard work goes away, Ryan. It's important, one, for me, that I have my AirPods in because I'm listening to podcasts and music almost constantly when I'm doing yard work. And frankly, as the snow flies, I also wear my AirPods, and it's just going to be elite to be able to know that my AirPods are going to stick in with my Comply foam earbuds.
It's truly, I would argue, might be my best purchase of 2023 so far are these Comply foam memory foam ear tips. To your point, Luke, whether they're your AirPods or they're my Beat Pros, I didn't know what life was like when I'm wearing my earbuds and I'm having to constantly adjust them, or I take them out of my ear and my ear hurts. Well, these memory foam ear tips from Comply foam, a local company out of Oakdale, Minnesota, eliminate the ear pain that is caused by silicone tips and the constant adjustments of the earbuds, whether you're mowing the lawn, doing yard work, or whether you're just sitting on a plane. So what I want you to do today is support a local company that is supporting us here on the podcast. Go to complyfoam.com, check out all their different memory foam tips, and then when you get to checkout, use promo code GG23 and save 20% today. So you've already made the investment of great earbuds. Now make the better investment of saving your ears the pain, the constant adjustments, and you go to complyfoam.com. And when you get the checkout, use promo code GG23.
All right, let's talk about some facts and figures for this game, Ryan. Again, this is a 2:30 kick on BTN. This is on October 28th. By the way, did I tell you that I'm actually going to go to this game live?
You're actually, so what, you're done with the harvest, or because of all the rain, you guys aren't going to be able to?
No, they're done, but the other
beans and corn, you're all done.
All done. So
good for you.
Yep. So we're all done. The other important thing to note is that I lived with some guys in college and a bunch of them are coming in for a wedding. Did you know that this Sunday wedding is a thing? Like, so it's going to allow us to be able to go to, the Gopher game. So, we were very fortunate that to be able to find a tailgate pass from one of your actual GI subscribers. he was really, really generous and was able to give us that. And so we're all going to get together in a lot C55, get ready before the game, head over together with our wives. One of the first times we're all together again outside of like bachelor parties, but definitely the first time on campus. So we're really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be just a blast, even though it's going to be absolutely freezing. And, you know, my wife might walk out halfway through.
I don't know. Absolutely freezing. Like, it's going to be the coldest it's been all year. It's not going to be like Wisconsin game cold. I mean, for those of you who haven't seen and you're listening to it when it's still in the 50s and 60s outside this episode, there's finally a cold front coming through, and it's finally going to start to feel like fall. What does that mean? For this game at 2:30, I believe the high temperature is projected to be 35, 36 degrees. But the thing within that, and I want to note to any of you going to this game on Saturday, is the wind should not be an issue like it was last week, which means it's not going to feel incredibly, incredibly cold like the Iowa game did last year. I think it's supposed to only be a light wind out of the north, light being like 5 miles an hour. Now, it kills me that I can't be sitting in a tree all day, but, you know, that's beside the point for many people out there. So it's going to be chilly for you, Luke, but I trust that in the Minnesotan you, you're going to be prepared. You're going to have your toe warmers, your hand warmers, and if you need any, I just made a resupply order, so you can come over to my house here on South Roseville and come get some hand and toe warmers if you
need. If I need to, I'll make sure to do that. Again, I just want to shout out your website. Like, you have some great members there, and they have a ticket exchange. I posted like, hey, this is my situation. I'm looking for a tailgate pass. A guy named Brian Wright from South Dakota actually reached out to me. He was very generous and offered it to me. He was a fan of the podcast and was like, hey, you can have it. I tried to pay him. He wouldn't let me. So Brian, again, thank you so much. My buddies and I are just really thankful. And honestly, this is what college sports is about, right? Like, getting together, you know, with your college buddies again, going to sports, you know, sporting event like you did. I can't tell you how excited I am to see these guys and all be together and go to the game. Even if it's going to be chilly, we're going to have a blast.
And that's the beauty of Gopher Illustrated.
Yeah, exactly.
Every single week, there's always the ticket exchange thread that, again, Gopher fans are trying to give other Gopher fans a deal, trying to make sure their seats go to Gopher fans. So it's $1 to get on the website. You get to read me, interact with me and Ryan James and everyone else. It's a great community we've built over at Gopher Illustrated. And if you haven't heard before, it's 100 pennies to join us for your first month.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into the game again. Sorry, I took us down a tangent, but I am really excited about that. I'm again, really thankful to Brian as well. So this game, Ryan, is the over under is 40.5 as we're looking at it now, with the spread at -7 in favor of the Gophers. This is set by Caesar Sportsbook. This obviously has adjusted from when it opened and will adjust up until game time. So, but anytime we're looking at that, we are going to account for that. You already mentioned some of the weather. I just want to add some more. There is a slight chance of snow, actually. The high should be probably around 34 to maybe 35 degrees. And you, as you said, there will be a light wind at the 2:30-ish kick. It's going to maintain temperature and, you know, up until the end of the game. But be prepared, be in layers, maybe have your home field bomber jacket on. And if you do, take a picture and send it to us. We'd love to see it. In general, I think it's going to be a chilly day. It's one of these games, Ryan, from an atmosphere perspective, that it might feel a lot like, do you remember that game a few years ago where Purdue came in really hot? Now, this isn't the situation with Michigan, but it was with Michigan State, but it was cold and it kind of started to flurry and they wanted nothing to do with that weather. Sometimes that's the team that's going to win this kind of game.
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting comparison. I think weather-wise it might be similar. I've seen, now it's as we record this on Wednesday evening, as someone who spends a lot of time looking at the weather and whose second career in life, if I didn't become a sports journalist, would have been a meteorologist. Let me tell you, as you know, the weather models for a game 72 hours from now have a long way to go in terms of accuracy, but there is a chance, to Luke's point, that there might be up to an inch of snow during this game. So once again, prepare for the elements. You're all Minnesotans. You've done this before. But to Luke's point, I mean, that was a game where Minnesota showed up physically against a white-hot Purdue team. Now, obviously, this Michigan State team trending in the wrong direction, but it's one where in the cold and potentially a little bit of flurries, you got to come out ready to go, especially after an emotional win in Iowa City.
All right. So I think it's important that we get to your facts of the game. Make sure, again, just be prepared. That's the thing. You know, and get over and get your Parlor Burger and get your Duck Duck beer and, you know, support Gopher athletes any way that you can. But most importantly, be prepared, wear layers. It's okay to wear too much. Just it's we're all Minnesotans, or we all spent time here at the in Minnesota. Like, just be prepared. That's the only thing I want to say. So let's get to your keys to the game, Ryan.
Well, I would say, as my favorite insurance agent loves to tell me, you always can put more layers on, but you can't take them off. So just be prepared, or you can take them off, I suppose. So just be prepared for things that are certainly within your control, and that includes dressing for the weather. So I'd say my key to the game on offense for Minnesota is figure out how to efficiently move the ball in an injury-depleted backfield. Now, we all know here that PJ Fleck loves to run the football. I know that. Luke Buehr knows that. You, the lovely listener, knows that. Michigan State knows that. But here's the question for the week. Do the Gophers stick with that, with the amount of question marks surrounding the backfield because of injury? I alluded to it earlier. Veteran running back Bryce Williams was announced out for the season before the Iowa game, so he's out of the mix this weekend. There is a lot of questions and things in the air with freshman tailback Darius Taylor as he returned from his multi-week absence for the Iowa game, received double-digit carries, but wasn't able to finish the game with what appeared to be a re-aggravation of that left leg injury. Now, RB3 would be Zach Evans. He also did not finish the Iowa game after sustaining an injury before the end of the first half. So if Evans and Taylor are both out, that means Minnesota's leaning on Western Michigan transfer Sean Tyler and very likely also Tyler Newbin's younger brother and former walk-on Jordan Newbin getting his first real meaningful significant carries in a game. Now, the Gophers offensive staff hasn't quite had to figured out how to get Sean Tyler going. We're still talking about someone who ran for over 1,000 yards last season for Western Michigan and in 2021. Yet, so far as a Gopher, he's only averaging 4 yards a carry with a long of 19 with no touchdowns. So if Tyler is going to be featured on Saturday, it's on offensive coordinator Greg Harbaugh and how he has to figure out how to get him into space and get him going. He's one of the fastest players on the team, but he struggled to get into space thus far. Now, if Jordan Newbin gets extended looks as RB5, Minnesota's got to be efficient up front with the Minnesota Moving Company, because I would imagine that Newbin is going to be there between the tackles guy. Now, I also talked about how I would imagine Harbaugh tries to use the short passing game as an extension of the run. Number one, because you're on RB4 and 5, and it's not Bucky Irving and Kai Thomas out there, but also because Michigan State is more susceptible through the air than they are on the ground. But if that's going to happen, everyone here agrees they need much better performances from Ethan Calliope-Manis, Corey Crooms, and Brevin Spanford. Daniel Jackson can't do everything. So with the backfield in a bit of disarray, everyone has to step up, and that also includes Elijah Spencer and Corey Crooms. I would argue Michigan State isn't as bad as the stats would tell you. I know they've lost 5 straight. I know they haven't allowed fewer than 26 points in any of those last 5 losses. Plus, their team leader on defense hit the portal this week. But to Luke's earlier point, their average-ish against the run, they rank 7th in Big Ten play in allowing just 3.4 yards per carry. But their passing defense has been much more of an issue. They rank 13th in the Big Ten out of 14 teams in passing defensive efficiency. They've allowed opposing Big Ten quarterbacks to complete nearly 60% of their passes, and they've allowed 9 passing touchdowns, which is tied for the Big Ten high in terms of allowed, with 4 interceptions. Last week, Michigan had 8 plays of 20-plus yards through the air, and Rutgers, a.k.a. Kirk Shiraka, had 4 passing plays the previous week of 20 or more yards. So they've been susceptible to the big play through the air. So it's going to be on Ethan Calliope-Manis to find something there in a frigid game this weekend. Keep the offense on schedule on first and second down, and then it's on him and Calliope-Manis to exploit some of these through the air. Now, defensively, Luke, same defensive recipe every single week. It's stop the running game and make the passing game beat you. We talked about how Michigan State made a change at quarterback after their bye week. They benched Noah Kim in favor of Caton Hauser. Well, if you believe the folks at Pro Football Focus, the results have been a lot different for Michigan State because Hauser is currently the lowest graded player on offense for Michigan State. He has an overall grade of 31.3. In Pro Football Focus, I will remind you, the average grade is 60. So in his two starts, he's completing about 60% of his passes with only 236 passing yards, two touchdowns, one interception. You look at those surface level stats and you think to yourself, well, it's not great, but it appears better than what Pro Football Focus is telling me. The issue is Pro Football Focus is taking into account that he has six, as they call them, turnover worthy plays in his two starts. So he's got six plays in his two starts, yet only one turnover to show for it. Pro Football Focus is screaming to the moon that he's getting lucky that he hasn't accounted for more turnovers. So within that would be Michigan State wants to run the football, especially with a newer quarterback that hasn't found a lot of success. Enter in Nathan Carter. He's received the bulk of the touches since the bye week. He's gotten over 20 touches in each of the last two games. But this is a running game that has struggled to find its footing since the quarterback change. And Carter is only averaging in his last two contests 2.38 yards per carry. Not very good. But in general, the Michigan State offense hasn't been very good at sustaining drives or generating explosive plays, which is part of why they've lost five straight. So if you're Joe Rossi, shut down Nathan Carter in the running game and make their passing game do the damage. That's what Minnesota executed so beautifully last week with three turnovers forced, 10 points allowed. Now, this Michigan State offense is more competent than the Iowa Hawkeyes. I would argue that the Spartans' offensive line has been average, but within that, it's worth noting their starting right tackle, Spencer Brown, was suspended for the first half of this game because of a very dirty hit against Michigan last week. So they're going to be without their starting right tackle. I would argue their starting left tackle and Brandon Baldwin is the weak link on that offensive line. He's allowed a team-high 17 pressures so far, a team-high 10 hurries. He's also their lowest-graded run blocker on the Michigan State Moving Company. So Minnesota's got a win up front, and if they can, and Caden Hauser beats them, so be it. But I would imagine that if you can put Caden Hauser in a bunch of situations where he's got pressure in his face and he's got to win the game by himself, you're going to see more turnovers. And then finally, Luke, it's probably the one that is the most subjective because we're talking about a non-football thing, but show up at home after an emotional rivalry win.
No kidding.
I mean, you saw how hard the Gopher players and staff rejoiced after they got their first win against Iowa in the Fleck tenure last week. Cigar smoke was everywhere, locker room, hallways, and rightfully so after a big rivalry win. But now you got to turn the page and come home to face a Big Ten team that's struggling immensely. They've already fired their head coach. They've changed quarterbacks, and it just seems to be consistently going bad for them. So it's on PJ Fleck and his staff to get these players to not have a quote-unquote letdown game on Saturday. I will be the one to scream into the ether here. The Spartans are absolutely capable of winning this game.
Yeah.
Minnesota is very capable of losing it. But if that's not going to happen, Minnesota has to get off to a quick start this weekend. That is critical. If you do, I know Fleck doesn't believe in momentum, but I do. And I believe it could be a, well, here we go again type of mentality from this Michigan State team that has seen very little success consistently. There's a lot of race left to be run in this Big Ten West, and we'll continue to get into that as November comes next week. But if you're going to remain in the Big Ten West Challenge, you're going to have a shot in November. This is a game you have to win.
Yeah, and you know it's going to be interesting to see how many people show out for this game. You know, the student section has been really good. It's going to be really cold. But additionally, Ryan, the Iowa win has like rejuvenated the fan base to a certain extent, right? And people are interested. It was a big win for them, and you just don't want to lose that with a disappointing loss. So I'm glad you brought up that point. We do need to get into our predictions, but before we do that, Ryan, I want to go over some stats from the whole season in general. So on the season, Ryan,
what was my prediction last week for Iowa? Didn't I predict 13 to 10 Minnesota?
You predicted 16 to 13.
16-13.
So not bad. I had 17-16 Minnesota. So we both beat the spread. But we both, or you beat the over under, and I failed on the over under because I took the over. You took the under. So on the season, Ryan, against the over under, you're 3-4. You're 3-3-1 against the spread. I am 2-5 against the over under, and I'm 2-3-1 against the spread. But on the season, straight up, we're both 6-1. We both got that Northwestern game wrong. So far, we haven't disagreed. The other probably more important thing that if you've been listening all season, you know, in the preseason predictions, I often throw out pretty extravagant game totals, and we had a bet. Do you remember what the bet was, Ryan?
I make way too many bets in a given week, much to the chagrin of some of the Minnesota meeting members.
So
when I'm saying that sarcastically, if one of them is listening, of which I adopted a kitten from, but okay. What was my bet on this game? I truly don't remember.
So in this game, I predicted that Minnesota would win this game in the preseason. You predicted 28-20 would be the win for Minnesota.
I said 28-20.
You said 28-20. So that okay. would be an over and a Minnesota cover against the spread. Now, in the preseason, I said it was going to be 38-29. And then
Jiminy crickets, Luke.
And then I bet you that the 55, the game total of this, you know, in the end would be an over, that both teams would score over 55.
How's that working for you when the game total this week is, drum roll, please,
40.5. So we're going to have to see how this goes. I took the over on 55 that we set back in, probably July. Maybe it was August. I don't exactly remember. But Jeff, I took the over.
Taxes, so. And Luke Buer betting against Joe Rossi's defense. Luke, hey, what more evidence do you need?
Hey, I got the Tom Allen bet still on my side for coffee, and I already beat you on the attendance for the Northwestern game.
You know what? We're going to come back to that Northwestern attendance bet off the podcast, because I was there that day. And
hey, we had independent arbiter Andy Greeter take that for us. I got the DM receipts if you need it. But that doesn't matter. So again, Minnesota is a 7-point favorite. The over under, let me double check. I think it was 40.
It's 40 yes, and a half.
40 and a half. Okay, so 40 and a half. I'll let you go first.
So a few other notes that I want to get to the people here before my prediction. Michigan State is the most penalized team in the Big Ten. They lead the conference with 56 accepted penalties against them. And they also lead the Big Ten in penalty yards. They are averaging 71 penalty yards a game thus far this season. Why I mention that, Minnesota just has to be patient and let the Spartans do what they do, and that shoot themselves in the foot. And if you do, you're going to be rewarded in this game with a couple of free first downs. Now, I would also say it took me this long into the podcast to mention Minnesota special teams.
Oh, goodness.
But Pro Football Focus grades these two units as the two worst special teams units in the Big Ten. Michigan State grades out as the 13th best, or is the second worst. Minnesota grades out as the 14th best, or literally the worst. So don't expect a lot from either one of these special teams units. And then finally, we've talked about it already, but it's going to be the coldest game of the season thus far, projected to be in the 30s, maybe potentially a little bit of snow. So physicality up front is going to be significant. With that being said, I say Minnesota gets it done at home. And unless the Gopher offense can finally get explosive, I'm not expecting many points. I'm going to say Minnesota wins this game 20-10. That is a Minnesota cover, but that is also an easy under.
That's interesting. All right. I will take here. I think that Minnesota and Rutgers are pretty similar, except I think Minnesota probably throws the ball a little bit better than Rutgers, but they take a similar approach. Rutgers plays some pretty good defense. Minnesota's playing some pretty good defense. You know, Rutgers took this one from Michigan State 27-24. This was their game preceding the loss to Michigan State. So I'm going to take, Minnesota 24-17.
What happened to that 55 total, you bullish man?
Well, I mean, I have two bets on this now, basically. So that's a 41, which would be an over, just barely. And let's see, the spread was 7 or 7.5.
You can't pick a push. Make a decision.
Oh, it was seven. I'm so sorry. I didn't know it was seven. I thought it was 7.5, so I was going to take the under as well. I'll take the over, and I will go with I'll go 25, so I'll go over one. 25-17. I don't know how they get there, but that's what I'm going to take. And what did you take?
Well, you've always been betting against Joe Rossi, and you're a Greg Harbo Bobo. You've always been that.
I've always been that way. What was yours again? You said 20-10?
I said 20-10. Again, I have within that, what does that mean? I mean, it means I'm having a hard time believing that a Michigan State offense that's been struggling, that has already seen a lot of turmoil, I just have a hard time believing Caden Hauser finds it in this game. Michigan State has really struggled to generate explosive plays. Minnesota's defense just played their best game of the season. I think the combination of that and the amount of plays that Michigan State's defense has seen in the last few weeks, they've been on the field for an average of 70 snaps the last 2 weeks. That's a lot, especially after a Michigan game last week, very emotional game for them, very physical team in Michigan. I think Minnesota can do just enough offensively in what is going to be a cold game. And I think cold means that more times than not, I would say that the under is going to hit in a type of that type of situation.
Again, longtime sponsor Burns Insurance brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, again, I've said this before, but it's that benefit season. And if you're thinking about, you know, making changes to your medical coverage or dental coverage, don't forget your car, your home, maybe your ATV, maybe your vacation home, whatever. Just take a stroll down to Burns Insurance and their website and talk to Bill and the good people there.
He is an insanely good insurance agent. If you're tired of not knowing who your insurance agent is, or you're dreading getting in contact with them, go with a local independent insurance agent who's very good at their job, who has access to over 20 different insurance companies to get you the best coverage at the best price. And oh, by the way, he's a Gopher fan that would love to talk with you. So if you live in the great state of Minnesota, he's licensed there, but also in North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, New York, Florida, and Utah. I say it every week, but whether it's your home, your auto, your umbrella, your UTV, your commercial business, whatever it may be, and you think you're paying too much or don't have good enough coverage, give him a call or check him out online at insurancebyburns.com, or just email him to the millennial way at bill@insurancebyburns.com.
All right, let's take a look at the games around the Big Ten. We have five of them this week, Ryan. It's all going to get kicked off with Indiana taking on Penn State. Penn State coming off their first loss of the year. This is in Happy Valley. I don't know if you know, but the over-under is 46. And Ryan, the spread is Penn State 32. This is going to be a tough one for Timmy Allen in the squad. But maybe this is where they finally get off the schneid. I kind of doubt it, but maybe.
I'm still annoyed that I didn't know that our Tom Allen bet, which is going to come to fruition here in 6 days, and you're going to win, but I'm going to win morally. Team Silver Linings here in South Roseville. But Indiana's about to be 2-6, 0-5. Penn State, look, Penn State, I know everybody is starting to talk is James Franklin potentially on the hot seat? Get the hell
stop.
Out of here.
Yeah, please stop.
Stop. Since the beginning of 2022, folks, so we're talking a season and a half, in non-Michigan Ohio State games, Penn State has won every other game by double-digit points. This is a team that won the Rose Bowl by 2 touchdowns against a good Utah team last year. And they're 6-1, and they just lost a close one in the horseshoe last week. Now, did I think they were going to win? Absolutely. Do I think they're going to lose to a bad Indiana team at home? No. Penn State's going to win this game, and your boy Tommy Allen is going to fall to 2-6.
And I think I called him Timmy. That was just totally on brand. Okay. The other 11 o'clock game, or, you know, noonish game, depending on where you are, is Maryland taking on Northwestern at Northwestern. You know, Northwestern, this is a game not likely they're going to win. They're an underdog by 13.5, in the over under is 48.5. But frankly, Ryan, you know, Maryland's now 2 losses in a row, a loss to Ohio State, a loss to Illinois, you know, and Northwestern's pesky. And And Mike Locksley just doesn't have a good track record, especially in bad weather games. And this is going to not just bad weather games, but when the weather gets cooler in general, you know, this is not going to be probably a beautiful weather game. It's going to be in the like high 30s. I haven't looked at the wind, but it's Northwestern. It's going to be windy. I'm interested to see this one.
This is a weird game to me. I obviously think Maryland's going to win, but we're talking about a Northwestern team that's been very hot and cold in road home splits, I would say. Their offense is scoring something like 30 points a game at home and like 10 points a game on the road, and Northwestern's at home this weekend. We know how weird Ryan Field gets in 11 a.m. kicks or just in general. Mike Locksley's lost two straight games, to your point. They lost a tough one to Ohio State where they were in it, lost it in that second half. And then you just lost to Illinois prior to the bye week. So what does Mike Locksley look like coming off a bye on the road at the most dreary place, the most boring place, the quietest place in the Big Ten for an 11 a.m. kick? It's going to be on Locks to get this team ready to go.
All right, next game, another 2:30 kick on FS1 is going to feature Nebraska playing host to the Boilermakers. The over-under is 39.5 with Nebraska favored by 2.5. This is a big game for Nebraska. It's also a big game, and not as big a game because I don't think Purdue is actually going to be able to be bowl eligible. I think technically they still have a path there. But, you know, Nebraska is definitely in the thick of it. Coming down, they have Purdue, Michigan State, Maryland, Wisconsin, Iowa. They should be favored in the next two, but they will likely not be favored in the last three. So it's important for them to be able to get this one, you know, get this one or stay competitive. Could they steal one against Maryland, Wisconsin, or Iowa? Absolutely. But, you know, if they want to get bowl eligible in Matt Rule's first season, this is a big game for them.
If you are a Minnesota fan, I will continue to beat the drum of you want Nebraska to be able to win a game like this, especially towards the end of the season. I mean, it is plausible, Luke, that Nebraska, which is a more dreadful offense than Minnesota's, and they've dealt with a lot of injuries, especially on the offensive side of the ball there. But defensively, I mean, they're starting to find it. And now, again, you look at the next five games for them, Purdue, Michigan State, Maryland, Wisconsin, Iowa, I would argue Maryland's the best offense of them. Then it's Wisconsin, and then you can take your pick. I mean, there is a plausible way that Nebraska can really help Minnesota play spoiler, but they're going to have to win a game like this at home against Ryan Walters.
All right, and then the last game, we've obviously Minnesota's playing at 2:30 on BTN as well, but the last game will feature number 3 Ohio State at Wisconsin. This is a 6:30 kick on NBC, so this is the big Saturday game of the week. The over-under is 45.5 with Ohio State the favorite by 14.5 on the road.
I know that the Badger hopefuls are thinking maybe they got a little juice here now after you come from behind, score 18 unanswered in that fourth quarter, and you found something. I think we've all made the mistake, and myself included, in terms of underestimating Ohio State this year. Ohio State has done it defensively to me. I mean, that's where they beat Penn State up, obviously, last week was up front. And I don't think Wisconsin's as good as Penn State up front. So I'm going to have a hard time believing that Braden Locke doesn't commit a couple of turnovers here at Camp Randall. I know it's under the lights. I know it's on national television. But until someone can tell me they can stop Marvin Harrison and what this an Ohio State team that's also getting healthier, I don't see it happening for the Badger faithful.
All right. So again, just to prepare for the coolness of this game, I was wondering, so as we were recording, Ryan, I was doing some research using some of my favorite generative AI tools, right? And I did find that if you are going to the game, you can bring heated blankets, jackets, and seat cushions powered by an internally enclosed battery only. Those will be allowed into Huntington Bank Stadium after confirming those items comply with the stadium guidelines and are clear of any prohibited items. So you can bring jackets. You can bring heated blankets and seat cushions if you want. I think my tips for staying warm in some of these like cold weather games as a viewer, first and foremost, keep yourself dry. Number two, make sure you got something to put your feet on that gets you off the concrete, and also something between you and that aluminum bench or that plastic bench that you're sitting on that's been sitting and acquiring all that cold. And you, Ryan, as the expert deer hunter, I'm sure you have some tips to share.
Number one, with opener next weekend, which we haven't even talked about, they released the time for next weekend's home game. It's 2:30, which means if you want to go sit opening morning of gun throughout the great state of Minnesota, number one, good luck. Number two, if you are a bow hunter, you have, as we sit here tonight, 10 days to get it done before the Sea of Orange comes in. Also, I want to see if you get one, slide into my DMs. I got plenty of you already there. But yes, to Luke's point, I think the biggest thing I would stress is put on layers, especially for your extremities. Invest in some hand or toe warmers. They'd go a long way, especially as someone who is hopefully going to be spend copious amounts of hours sitting in these temperatures prior to the game on Saturday and then prior to the game next Saturday. But get some hand and toe warmers and bring, I would say, a set for starting at halftime into the rest of the game. Because it's, you know, once you get into the tailgate lots like you're going to do, Luke, those ones that you have 3 hours before time, by the time you get to the game, they're going to be starting to wear out. Have a fresh set ready to go for the start of the game, maybe even halftime as well. They're very inexpensive, but invest yourself in some warm shoes and some hand and toe warmers.
All right, again, I want to thank all of you for listening. We really enjoyed doing this. And again, thanks to our sponsors for making it possible. Please support them because they make this possible. Again, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.